Hello, and welcome to episode 199 of the Planet Destiny podcast. We got a special episode for you guys this week, as you guys are going to see two new faces, but as soon as you hear them talk, I'm sure you'll recognize them from over our YouTube channel. Starting off, we have Mr. Jarve. How you doing, bud?
I'm good.
Good. Thanks for joining us, man. You've been a part of the team for a bit, so it's nice to have you here on the show, finally.
Yeah, it's been over a year now, but I've been hiding away on YouTube. I say hiding away, but I've been playing my trade over there. It's been good fun.
Nice. And one of our more recent content creators over on the YouTube side, Mr. CryptBuff. How you doing, bud?
I'm well. How are all of you?
Good, man. Thank you for coming on. I know it's probably a really weird time for you right now. What time is it over there in Korea?
Yes, in South Korea, it is currently 8:05. So I am playing hooky, not really, from work. I'm in that, as I mentioned before the podcast, I apologize for the sound of the airplanes taking off or helicopters. There's an airfield, so many meters that way. And here's my barracks. Here's the fence separating my base from the rest of Korea. And here is a farm. So okay. Middle of nowhere, Korea. Yeah, but I'm kind of a free-range chicken, as my boss describes me right now. I'm in that weird position where I'm about to leave this current duty assignment. I've already been replaced, and I'm about the same rank as my boss. So my time is my own.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Very cool. And Dan!
He said duty. The man with
the bee and the 5 o'clock shadow.
He said duty.
He did say duty.
Duty.
We're five-year-olds. Excellent. All right.
That's a good way to start the show. Oh, man. All right. We had the week in Destiny.
Mm-hmm. We did.
We did.
It's been a good one, man.
We had the release of a old weapon that I personally wasn't expecting to come back to the game. Out of all of the exotics from Destiny 1, this was probably on the lowest part of the list that I would see returning, but we got Outbreak Prime, otherwise known as Outbreak Perfected, back in the world of Destiny, and man, is it a insanely powerful weapon.
It's beautiful.
Stability bar is a lie. The stability bar is an outright lie.
That thing is a laser beam of nanites.
Yeah, man. Totally unexpected.
100%. Yeah, it was. Go for it.
Weren't we all thinking might be maybe Rose or something? That was one of
I think that's what. When people saw the kinetic weapon that was classified, I think that was another hand cannon was the thought. But when it came out, it was a pulse rifle. Yeah, I think it caught me off guard. I think it caught a lot of people off guard. But it just goes to show you they can bring back anything at any time. They have their cards well and truly hidden.
I mean, I remember that Tuesday morning you were in our staff chat Discord. You posted that Catalyst image, and I was like, "What?" And honestly, I wasn't expecting to see that immediately. I probably thought that was just going to be something that was in the database already that may come with Season of Opulence, because we're so close to the brand new season coming up soon. But no, it was Outbreak Perfected dropping in a whisper like mission, which was by far one of my favorite activities in Destiny right now. How many of you guys have managed to get your hands on it?
I have.
Yeah, so, I got it, man.
All right, beautiful. Well, we all got it. So we can all talk about it.
Yeah, we can all talk about it. The silence, I was a bit nervous. I was like, has no one got it?
What? Silence is really good for an audio podcast. It's great.
I want to say I only have it because of Nem's charity and benevolence, and TBL as well. A big shout out to you both for basically dragging me, pulling and screaming out of my negative mindset from getting wrecked on Asian server Crucible matches on PC. Good time.
Yeah, man. So it was so good. That mission is beautifully designed. For those that haven't played it and don't know anything about it, just as a heads up, we're going to be getting into some spoilerish territory regarding on the setting of the mission. most likely than not, you guys have already seen either videos or comments on it, but we are going to talk about the mission design itself. We return to the old tower, something that we haven't seen since the beginning of Destiny 2 when it was being attacked by the Red Legion, and I was pretty excited to see them reuse that space and really play into that nostalgia factor of the quest. Did you guys jump in immediately, or did you guys just kind of watch other people go through it first and see how to play through it?
I almost had no choice. basically. So the maintenance got extended, but Xbox couldn't download the patch until after the maintenance had completed, and that was like extended by 3 hours. Oof. So I was just sat here watching it all unfold, which is frustrating as a content creator, as you could probably imagine. But just because you want to get involved and stuff, and you want to be part of the, you know, community effort to solve things, solve puzzles and stuff, and mm-hmm. just feel like you're that disconnect there. And we'll talk a bit about it later with the new raid and what that could mean for PlayStation players and stuff. We'll talk about that later, I'm sure. But it was a little bit frustrating for me initially, but it's the bread and butter stuff for Destiny stuff, like how well Shattered Throne came about, you know, the Whisper mission, how that was just discovered out of nowhere. And you know, when they do stuff like this, it's phenomenal, and it just brings everyone together and excites the community again. So from what was sort of relatively probably a quiet season that not a lot of people were engaged with, it suddenly sort of turned it around for a lot of people towards the end. So it's a positive for me.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, did you how did you like the quest?
I liked it quite a bit. It took me a while to get into it. The first night we tried it, we just went in blind, so each time it was just like further and further and further in until we finally made it to the boss room. But I think I got it Thursday with Pretty Petty and No Toes as my other two teammates, and yeah, it was excellent mission all the way through. Love the nostalgia factor, love the different parts of the tower that we probably never got to see elsewise. But yeah, it was super cool, super fun. You made a joke earlier in our pre-call chat about it having Metal Gear Solid vibes for you, and you were right. You're right. After seeing that video, fantastic. It's wonderful. For those of you who haven't seen that, I will be posting a link here in chat for you to watch.
Thanks. So, Crit, you mentioned we dragged you scratching and crying your way through. What did you think of the mission, bud?
So first and foremost, I hyper focus, and because I'm like, I turn into John Wick in PvE whenever it comes time to get things done. I didn't even know we were in the D1 tower until you told me afterwards, because I was like, where's the next thing to kill? I just want to kill the next thing. Let me kill it. that was, if you play a game of Prime with me, you know that like Reaper is my everything. So it was interesting to get to go back to the tower. I went on my Titan. I made the mistake of going on my Titan because that there jumping puzzle. And this is the great thing when TBL, I saw his video on Planet Destiny on YouTube to get the guide to getting the weapon. So if you still want a solid guide with the walkthroughs the entire way, go check out his video. It's great. And you will see at about the halfway mark, every one of my wonderful deaths. he said, I'm going to put the entire jumping puzzle for you here. And I'm like, great. Now all of YouTube gets to see how horrible I really am at this.
Look, that's one of the beauties of these like whisper-like missions where it's just riddled with jumping puzzles. And I can see TBL, if you're in the live show right now, TBL's just laughing away in chat. That was fantastic.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, bro. Here's to you.
Yeah.
The Warlock, dude. 100%.
Oh my god, it's so easy on a Warlock.
Just not fair.
And that's one of the things I really like about Zero Hour is that unlike the Whisper mission, as a variant with the heroic version. So the jumping puzzles are very, very different, and they're pretty fantastic. So man, getting getting all the way through that mission is quite amazing. It's just like how much into the tower we delve, and how where we end up in the Cryptarch vault, which has another secret hidden in there, but we'll get to that in a second. But what'd you guys think of the last boss fight?
Hectic.
Yeah. I've never feared a Shank as much as I feared it in that boss fight.
No kidding. It was easy once, like, you cleared out the Shanks and everything. The problem was, and this is the only time I'm going to say that this is a problem, I was on a team with three hunters.
No Nova Bomb.
We didn't have a Nova Bomb. We did have a Golden Gun for the Servitors, but, like, that doesn't return immediately. And so it was a kind of struggle bus a couple of times. But when I ran it with my buddy TJW the next day on Friday, Nova Bomb just cleared everything up. It was,
mate, it was amazing. Does work on those servitors, yeah, mate. They're gone. Shank's gone. And Risk Runner is ridiculous in there.
A bunch is listening. You know Skull's next. We can't say anymore.
Nope, we're done.
Don't you dare touch my skull.
No.
But what's funny is, like, Skull was actually really good beforehand. Like, it did receive a buff, but, like, it was great then. It was just when Cataclysm was buffed by an ungodly amount. That's when, like, Skull became a highlight to use with that. But anyways, that's besides the point. Dude, all right, so Outbreak perfected. The gun itself is probably one of the strongest primaries in the game right now.
It's silly.
It will only get better.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and it's only going to get better. So, one of the key differences with the Perfected versus the Prime is that the Perfected basically now uses the nanites that you hit on targets, and the more you are shooting at them, the more damage over time they're going to take. Yeah. And without the catalyst alone, the weapon is ridiculous.
It's stupid.
Yeah, like, it's.
We use it.
And the good thing is, it works with other.
Yes, it stacks with other Outbreak Perfected. So if you got a full fire team running, as we've seen some of the top PvE goons already melt bosses do, like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So with that being said, like, I mean, we've already seen Glad and his merry band of friends, you know, just one phase bosses and Kallus and stuff like that. And this is without the catalyst.
Yeah.
The catalyst is going to further increase that damage from the nanite. So can you imagine how much stronger that thing is going to be in, like, what, 3 to 5 weeks from now, depending on the progress?
It's going
to
be amazing in PvP, even.
On PC, it's got no recoil. I mean, there's not many guns that do on PC, but, like, it's like a laser beam.
Let's see, what's recoil on PC? What are you talking about?
Recoil.
Yeah.
I guess it's interesting to see, like, will they have to go back and revisit it once the catalyst is unlocked and we've got full fire teams using it on raid bosses? Are they going to have to, like, come in and say, oh, all right, guys, we got to slow your roll. Listen, it was wonderful while it lasted, but we've got to do some fine tuning here. I don't know.
I hope not, man. I think they should aspire to, you know, other weapons that they bring back or create. They should aspire to, you know, excel in that area. It feels like an exotic, man. That's exactly what it should be.
And that's the thing, right? So this is a primary that kind of gets to do more than what a primary normally gets to do, right? Like, once those nanites are on there and he's covered in the creepy crawlies, the bosses, it gets to go outside of just doing normal primary damage. It gets to kind of improve its swagger a little bit, which is really what makes it exotic, I think, Jarv. Like, the note you hit.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't had a whole chance to take it into PvP yet, but it's been amazing in PvE. Ooh, Dan?
I have some opinions on it in PvP.
Oh, do tell, buddy.
I brought it in, and I was like, oh shit, I think this is going to be a problem. Because, like, the stacking buff, you don't really get a chance to really, like, get that off on a Guardian, because we're so squishy as it is. But, I think it was, like, a 3-burst for me. And
yeah, I think it's 3-burst.
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, it was, with it not moving all that much, with it being a 3-burst, you could... I don't know. I was killing a lot of people and I was having a lot of fun. I was like, this is going to be a problem. I can see everybody's going to use this and it's going to be nerfed sometime in the near future. Like, it's just going to be.
I think its only handicap is its range. I have a 99 range blast furnace with Feeding Frenzy and Kill Clip. And I have a feeling that if I were to bring that into tow and like me and an Outbreak Perfected guy are dueling it out, yeah. If it's like Equinox and we're across the map, I win. So that will probably be its Achilles heel, as other pulse rifles with better range or scouts possibly.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just I liked it a lot. I thought it was really nice for what I was working on, which was nothing. I just wanted to see how it played. But I think it's going to be in my primary slot for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
For a minute. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of our hosts is in chat, the Black Link, and he says that it's got a very specific power that only really becomes broken when you have everyone using it against extremely high health enemies. And in PvP, it's just a stupidly solid pulse rifle, great range and stability. And it is. I've been running people through Zero Hour with my buddy Pyro Gaming. And that's when it's time to get to the health to the boss for the spider walkers at the end. Immediately we both go to the right, he puts down a rally barricade, and we both just melt those spider walkers with the mm-hmm. Outbreak Prime, and the amount of damage that thing does as it is absurd. It's insanely powerful.
And so. That's what makes it balanced, I think, is that you hit upon something here, Nem. You need, it's great, but it needs that final little bit of help, mm-hmm. right? Like Lunafaction Boot, Warlock, and a Rift, or a Rally Barricade. That it needs that last little push,
yeah,
to get to its final form. And I think that's where the balance is. Would you all?
I mean, definitely having those, that kind of thing helps it. Actually, now that you mentioned Lunafaction Boots, I'm actually curious if using an Empowering Rift increases the damage on the Nanites. Gonna have to look into that.
Matches are gonna happen.
Yeah,
we know what it does to Chaperone if you put on the Lunafaction boots.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you guys saw that, but Crit posted a video on Twitter not so long ago of him just out mapping somebody with a Chaperone in an absolute absurd distance. It was super
21 meters. It was 21 meters before Roadborn proc. That poor Titan.
So gross. Oh, anyways, so yeah, so that's Outbreak Perfected. As it is with the base, if you manage to get your hands on one, you'll immediately unlock the heroic variant of Zero Hour, and completing through that will net you the catalyst. And like the Whisper, it's one of the catalysts that you kind of have to work with over time. So as it stands, when you complete the heroic version and you get the catalyst, I believe you get 20% mm-hmm. on it. And there is a little puzzle in the Zero Hour mission that came along, which is a little complicated, a little time consuming.
Yeah,
I don't know if the person who created that puzzle just does not like people, but this puzzle is unbelievably complex. I mean, at least at first, like if you're using the tools that the community mm-hmm. has managed to build for it, it becomes extremely easy, and it's just a matter of getting to that.
So what does it entail? Because as somebody who I've run heroic a couple of times just to kind of get a feel for the new puzzles mm-hmm. and stuff. What are the steps to get the catalyst? What are the steps to keep rolling through it? Is it kind of like Whisper in the way that you have to kind of roll through
it's different singes? It's more involved than the Whisper catalyst. Actually, Jarv, you made a guide for it, bud. You
Yeah, I can do it. So you get the catalyst from the heroic version. So that net that for you. And then when you rerun it in the first area where Eva Levante used to be stationed in D1, there's just like a couple of shelves and there's like a transponder on there that you can pick up the void version. And then basically you need to collect 3 separate key cards in the mission. So they're hidden as you go through the normal mission. So they're in various locations. So you collect those 3 cards and you've got that transponder. Then you get to the vault. And with those 3 key cards, you can actually begin sequences on some of the consoles in that room. Each console has 2 clocks. And then each clock resembles a number. So this week, I think you only need to use console 1, which is the one on the far left, and console 3, which is the one on your left as you go directly in the room. But I think you only need the 1 dial from that, the left
yes.
side.
Yes, yeah.
But like Nem was saying, there's some fantastic tools. It started off with spreadsheets, and now there's literally just a website where you just choose your number, and it tells you, you know, what color room and what number node in that room. But like I said pre-show, It's fantastic work from the community to work it out. I just want to, in game, I want to know what the correlation is between what we see on those dials versus our, you know, the correct answer, because no one really knows what that is yet, which is because I'm pretty sure we're missing the trick somewhere.
Yeah.
But when you do it, when you complete it, you get the blueprint for the ship or a ship, and we'll have to complete a Ark and Solar version, most likely, to get that. And you also get some Siva particulates as well.
Yeah, which is what boosts your catalyst up from 20% to 33%. Now, the actual puzzle in the vault, as Jarf was mentioning, so there's 3 consoles in there, but you only really need the console number 1 and console number 3. Along with that, there are, what is this, 7 rooms? 6 rooms?
7 rooms, yeah.
So there's 7 rooms, and each one of those rooms has different colors.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, there's a green room, there's a white room, there's a blue room, a purple room. And within each one of those rooms, there's 7 consoles.
Yeah.
So if you're using the calculator that was created by the community, the person that's reading the numbers on the dials on terminal 1 will read a number from left to right. So they'll say either 4 and 6. And you take those numbers and you put it on the calculator. Sometimes you'll need the number from terminal 3.
Okay.
And it's only 1 number that you'll need. So when you input those numbers into the calculator, it'll tell you which room you need to go to and what console you need to activate.
Okay.
So it'll tell you green 3. So on that same calculator, there's actually a really fantastic layout of what consoles are what in there. So... Mm-hmm. You basically have to repeat that cycle 49 times.
Jesus!
Why, though? Why? Because it's a multiple of 7? Bungie, why?
On the bright side, each time you input a sequence correctly, it will net you 12 seconds back on your timer.
Oh my god.
No. If we're gonna do, like... 7 times itself. We need more than. I want 7 times itself in seconds back. All right. It's you can't.
It's
rob Peter to pay Paul. Oh my.
It's unbelievably long. Like, so you got to make sure that when you're going to do this, you get there with as much time as possible. I think the last couple of times that I did it, we went in there with maybe like 2 minutes left on the clock. And by the time that we were done, we only had a couple of seconds left before the mission finally just automatically kicked us out. But we managed to get the person their ship schematic and their extra percentage for their catalyst. But yeah, so, I mean, if you want to get the catalyst as fast as possible, which if the math works correctly, you need to do this 3 times over the course of the next 3 weeks. So if you haven't done it yet, I really, really recommend going in there before resets. And there's plenty of people in the community that are helping people through it, including here in the Planet Destiny Twitch channel. Bo Solaris was helping out people get through that. So I really recommend doing so. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. In order to get the catalyst done, because you're only going to get the 20% from just completing the heroic version. So
Yeah, that might be the route I take.
Remember when secrets in video games were like throwing stuff into a pond and then a fairy gave you a better version out, so you just do everything you had in there, trial and error. Now we have software that the community has to develop.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. It's pretty gnarly.
Crazy how quick they turn that out as well.
I have a question about the white room. Does it have black curtains?
No.
That was a joke for like one person who listens to this podcast. It's fine.
All right, there you go. But yeah, no, it's pretty insane. Luckily, you don't have to kill the boss after you get your configuration puzzle done. But yeah, you're going to have to do that another 3 times over the course of the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you did it this week, it's 2 weeks. So yeah, it's pretty insane. So
just add a little inside.
Yeah, Kripa, we got to get you to that through that as well. So you better get ready for that.
I'm gonna go throw up real quick. I'll be right back.
As long as you get your ass in there. Along with that, you know, we also just like Whisper. This is a topic that I kind of want to just quickly cover. We got a couple of ornaments on Eververse as well for the Outbreak Perfected. We have a ornament called Patient Zero, which is my personal favorite. And we have another one. Anybody remember the name of the second ornament?
No.
I call it the Bumblebee one because it turns it black and yellow. So that's what I call it in my head. Black yellow,
I'm sure chat knows the proper name for the second ornament. I'm just reading through here. It's I can't remember it. I'm blinking here. But anyways, it's black and green. It looks pretty nice. I went with the Patient Zero. One of the differences between these are a little bit cheaper than the Whisper ones. 700 silver.
Okay. Which in American dollars?
That's $7.
$7? All right.
Yeah. Because the Whisper ones were $10 bucks each.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more expensive, but it's really good. The Patient Zero one, I really recommend looking at that one because it has animations to it. Mm-hmm. So whenever you shoot the gun, you see the little SIVA tendrils on there and they light up and they go all crazy. And there's proper animations on the body of the gun itself. So whenever you're shooting it, it's like just SIVA just like covering different areas of the gun. It's really cool. So I really recommend looking at them just awesome. Before. Yeah, it's really nice. But yeah, like it looks pretty great. I think they did a fantastic job with the 0 hour mission and just kind of throwing in that surprise in there.
It's so big, dude. Like genuinely, like at first I was like, oh, it's homecoming like reversed, and then mm-hmm. the branches often becomes this absolute. It's so big, like it must have taken them. So, how they kept it under wraps. I mean, I know some of the stuff got sort of dated mind over the last couple of weeks, but in terms of like. What it was, mm-hmm. no one had a Scooby-Doo, man. Like, that's amazing. When they can land stuff like that, it's incredible.
When it comes to, like, this next upcoming season, that's supposed to be... This season of Opulence is supposed to be the secret-bearing one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
This makes me super stoked to see what happens in the next couple weeks.
Every day, it's going to be different. Logging like, what is this?
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody's like, where's the content? Maybe Opulence has all of it.
It's right there. You just don't know where it is yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you imagine logging in and it just being normal. It's like, what
happened?
Yeah, what happened?
Nothing.
Yeah.
you gotta find it. Speaking of Season of Opulence, we finally have a date for Season of Opulence that was revealed at the This Week at Bungie. June 4th, the new season starts. So for everybody that's still trying to get like whatever seasonal triumphs that we have going on right now, you have a deadline. along with the reveal of the date when the new season starts, the raid drops on the same day, just 6 hours later.
Fucking A. That's awesome.
Plenty of time. ready for that.
Jerv, what time is that for you?
It's about now. Yeah, it's about midnight. Right. Yeah.
About now?
Yeah, resets at 6 p.m. UK time.
Okay.
So midnight, yeah. Like, for anyone in sort of this part of Europe, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Because you're tired anyway. You're going to be tired. Mm-hmm. So tired.
So there's a big discussion going on right now with that information, because normally I think the last time that we had a raid drop on this day one of the content release was Crota's End.
Okay.
So it's been a while since we've had, you know, very little prep time to do that, but I feel like this is probably the best middle ground that Bungie could have done in order to get that world's first. Because one of the key issues here is that, and let me bring up the This Week at Bungie, because this correlates also as well with the changes that they're doing to the game on that day. So whenever there's a new raid out, we always know that there is a world's first race to it. And obviously this is no exception. So with that coming on the same day, just 6 hours later, Last Wish and Scourge of the Past will be unavailable until the new raid has been beaten to prevent players with a stash of ethereal keys to, you know, kind of boost their power level up. They kind of want to soft cap people in order so they can be challenged with the raid, because this was an issue that we saw with Scourge of the Past, where it was beaten relatively quickly. I mean, it's not the biggest raid anyways, but right.
And we've talked about that in the past, that it was just kind of like, all right, it's big skyboxes, which is cool, I enjoy a big skybox, but not a lot in it, you know.
Yeah, you can only look at it for so long.
Yeah.
So along with that, Prime Attunements will also be reset to 2 charges per character on day one. And while characters will build Prime Attunement charges over time, these are going to be set for 2 per character upon logging in after the new season begins. So they're really trying to put a soft cap on people from over leveling to make sure that, you know, the new raid isn't beaten like super fast, or because, you know, they want the raid to be challenging. They don't want to make this brand new pinnacle experience to just kind of be run through because of, you know, previous end game content that's available there. So and as a last reminder there, any powerful bounties that you have before Season of the Drifter hits will cap at 700. So even if you hoard those, ain't going to do you much good.
Yeah. There. So I mentioned earlier, Sweatsickle is already working on like a workaround. There's like a spreadsheet. Let me drop the link in there to his tweet.
Of course there's a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Like
absolutely. Destiny. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. It's always a spreadsheet. But this thing, like, he's saying, keep in mind that it's not like 100%, but yeah, like he's posting like flashpoints limited to 1 character, allegiance quest complete up to the last step. These are like things to do before jumping in there on your Titan, your Warlock, your Hunter, and so forth. It's pretty, it's pretty interesting, pretty in depth. There's some redacted stuff in there that's going to be that they're going to be working on and testing. But I don't know, for anybody that's like listening or watching us on YouTube, or here on Twitch, it's a pretty interesting tool to kind of look over, maybe.
Yeah.
It's definitely in the prep work, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think like when you read through that, it's a fantastic little guide that he's put together. And there's things in there that I'd not even thought about, to be honest, but it's definitely in the prep work and setting yourself up. Because you're not, like you said, Nem, you're not going to be able to carry anything forward.
Yeah.
It's like bounties and stuff, it's good for Ikora. That's at best. Demon City and stuff carries 7 of those over. That's really good. It's about saving time, isn't it, once the reset hits? So you can just run around, do 1 bounty here, pick up rewards or pinnacle weapons there and stuff, because 6 hours will fly by.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got multiple characters.
You know, in between that time as well. and we were kind of talking about this before the show, is that you'll still have Shattered Throne, to do.
Yeah.
Which gives you a pretty sizable boost.
Wait, is that that week least... as well?
Yeah, that's
the
week. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a stacked day.
You're gonna be busy.
Yeah, it's a stacked day, lots to do. Another thing that was kind of a hot topic is the fact that the raid is dropping 6 hours later, which it's going to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time. That's 7 Eastern and midnight for the UK. So a lot of people aren't too happy. Yeah, 8 a.m. Yeah, he's got plenty of time. He's got the day to burn.
Well rested.
Yeah. He's,
good night's sleep.
Yeah, no, the reset happens at 2 a.m. my time, so that's the
oh, okay. The balance. So you're not going to have a whole lot of time to... I mean, unless you're crazy enough to, just, power through with some coffee and...
Does Balls still exist? Do you guys remember Balls? The little energy drink that came in the blue bottle? They had little nubs on the inside.
Yeah. I know we sell those at my old job.
So just get yourself some Balls.
I'm gonna show some Balls. A couple of bottles of Balls. A
couple of Balls.
No, I'll reach out to that some fast 5 times.
Nam, once he gets his hands on some Balls, I don't judge. But
locked into that one.
Yeah, he did. Backed into it, maybe. But so yeah, I'm gonna reach out to some soldiers over in Afghanistan, have them ship me some Rippets. That's what I'll do. If you remember those. For some reason the army still has all the Rippets left in the world in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I'll reach out to some guys, see if they can care package those over to me.
Yeah. So I mean it's that the raid releasing at that time is kind of a hot button because it's just all over the place on a Tuesday. So the people that are working, that's usually close to at the end of the day, their bedtime, they're getting home tired, ready to wake up, the next day. So it definitely puts a hamper on the people who kind of want to participate, as opposed to, the people that are going to be streaming it, it's literally a non-issue for them.
So
I'm going to mute myself real fast because doggos are going to go crazy.
Okay. Sounds good. So Drifter asked an interesting question in chat, and he's like, are you worried that it's another small raid like Scourge of the Past, and they don't want it to be beaten so easy, and that's why they're doing it?
It's a balance, right, I think. I think there's maybe an element of that, possibly, but then it's also down as an all-new raid. I don't know what studios do. I don't know if this is a Bungie part of the annual pass or whether it's part of the Vicarious
Visions. I think this is Vicarious Visions. Yeah, this is their, if I remember correctly, it's their final
one song.
Yeah, there we are.
Okay, so they've had since Warmind, really, to be working
on. It's a long time.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful. It'd be good. I think it's more about creating a level playing field for more players, rather than having... a standalone group, which are obviously far excelling everyone else, just from time investment compared to the normal, working player and stuff. It's just to help try and do that. I think that's the angle I'm looking at it, rather than is it going to be long or short or anything like that.
Yeah,
I would say it's I think Bungie realizes the kind of the second and third order effects, as we would call them in the military. So if Bungie releases Last Wish at the power level, fence that you have to clear first, they know that people are going to do everything in their power to do that, because for some people this is their livelihood, right? Mm-hmm. Our big streamer.
Yeah.
If I'm Bungie, I'm probably going to sit there and say, you know what? I love these guys and gals. I don't want them being up for 30 hours straight or whatever have you, all this madness. Let me create a level playing field as best as I can and give them all a very obtainable barrier to entry, so that way they're not murdering themselves in preparation beforehand. That would be the only point of view I could bring to it, is that this is just the staff there being like, we got to help them help themselves.
Yeah,
absolutely. I got a question for you guys.
Sure,
go for it.
So let's speculate a little bit here. We know the name of the raid, and it's an interesting name.
Yeah.
The name of the raid is called the Crown of Sorrow. Now, if you're into the lore, sorrow tends to tie in with our with you know a different topic in a different enemy race, mm-hmm. as opposed to what we're expecting this raid to be in, because they've teased Season of Opulence to be, you know, pretty thematically tied to Leviathan. But the name Crown of Sorrow to me sounds like Hive.
Yeah.
You'd love it to be Hive, though, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. 100%, but I'm trying to be... I'm trying
put away the razors. Yeah, put he's away the razors.
He's trying to, like... Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Listen.
I can't wait.
Listen. This both, like, excites me and concerns me, though. Because, as we know, there is no more Taken King.
Right.
You know, that mantle was kind of left up there. And we know that somebody else has been kind of in control of the Taken, which is Oryx's sister, Sabathun. Yeah. Now, there's been a lot of, you know, little lore bits of her and whatnot with, like, the Dreaming City, her daughter, Dulin Kharu. What if the braid itself is not tied to Leviathan, but what if it's tied somewhere in the Dreadnought? Because yeah. we still have yet to see that based on the end game cutscene that we got that was a roadmap of the places that we were going to go to.
Yeah.
Because we've seen everything. We've seen Mars happen. We've seen the reef come and go. And the last bit that we saw there was Oryx's Dreadnought ship.
Yeah.
I think, like, when you look at... Sorry, Dan. I think, like, some of the footage that we've seen with the six players on the Leviathan, I think that's more towards the new six-man matchmade yeah. activity. Mm-hmm. I think you're on the right sort of lines. I think, like, because they've had two raid lairs and a raid on Leviathan, so why would you do that again? Unless it takes you somewhere else.
Yeah,
I think Nessus would be an interesting thing to look at, considering that's right next to Leviathan. Yeah. Maybe find out a bit of what Cade was actually doing, because we don't really know still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think you're on the right sort of lines. I don't imagine it to be on Leviathan.
I think
that's where the six-player activity
exactly. Yeah. Yep. And another one of the reasons why this concerns me as well is because we haven't properly seen, like, again, it's pure speculation, but, you know, we haven't properly seen, you know, like, Sabathun in game.
Yeah.
So in order to, like, if this is tying into her somehow, it's pretty worrisome for me, because, again, if it does happen, it's almost going to be like a Zol Nokris thing, where it feels like almost it's just kind of shoehorned in.
Yeah. I think... So, as you mentioned, Imre, we have had confirmed that, yes, the order in the cinematic is the order of the DLCs.
Yeah.
And we know mm-hmm. this has been in the oven the longest of mm-hmm. these season pass things. We know Vicarious Visions knocks it out of the park. They've been working on Warmind, apparently, since, like, The Taken King was out, I think.
Parts of it, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, obviously, development takes its time. It's magic, as far as I'm concerned, what they can do. But, where was I going with this? At any rate... Right, so the crown nomenclature, right? Emperor Kallus wears a crown, or we could have the Taken. I mean, there's
a lot.
Yeah, maybe yeah. we have competition. I don't know.
It's yeah, I mean, it's that cutscene again, though, because I think after the reef, it is actually the right or the
yeah.
rings of Saturn, right?
Yeah, so, the rings of Saturn.
Yeah,
and yeah, I mean, we know that there's in the roadmap that we've seen before. There's two redacted features yet. However, we do know that the raid is is on there in the non-redacted section, and there's also the six-player matchmaking activity. What if one of those redacted things is Patrol Zone back to the Dreadnought?
Maybe.
You know?
I'd be a happy little boy.
Because, like, I mean, Bungie is fantastic at, like, just throwing people off. You know, Outbreak Perfect is a clear example of that. So I don't know, man. I'm pretty excited and scared to see where Opulence is gonna take us.
Yeah, I don't know. With them being like, this is the one of secrets. I'm stoked.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
Yeah, give me more Outbreak Perfecteds. Give me more Whispers. Give me whatever the hell else you want. I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. If it's Savathun this early, like, what's the next big bad?
Yeah,
in the realm.
I think some of the leaks that were happening a couple of months ago were saying that I think this season we'll start to understand the next enemy. So whether like Savathun will probably, if she is there,
yeah,
not actually be there, but we'll actually, because at the moment we're assuming it's Savathun based on everything.
Yeah,
that the game's telling us.
It is interesting that the day of the raid release is also Shattered Throne Day.
Full curse.
Yeah.
Do we break the curse?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Can we break the curse?
Can we? Yeah. That's the big thing. I think this week is the week that you're supposed to be able to get the Chronicler. This upcoming week is the week that you're supposed to get Chronicler, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that we see like a cinematic or something along those lines for that. But it is interesting. It is interesting that that's another curse week following up.
Will Mara be back?
Yeah.
What happened to Aldrin? Where is he at? Right. Like, obviously that's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. It's still a loose end. Which I honestly don't think we're going to see anything in Aldrin until either whatever was going to come after September. Or at the very latest, maybe the next iteration of Destiny. Because, I mean, that's a huge, that's a huge plot line that we still have yet to go through.
And it's also a connection that we'd like to make is be like, oh, that's neat and tidy. Just put a bow on that. A year after Forsaken comes around, we get, you know, whatever with Aldrin. But who knows, man? Who knows?
I mean, we didn't find out about Elsie until Warmind. So that was there was years in between that, you know, plot line. So I wouldn't be too shocked to not see Aldrin for another good while. Go ahead.
There's not anyone else that actually knows that Aldrin's alive other than us.
Yeah, just the player.
Yeah,
you know, Osiris knows, but that's Osiris.
Pulled pork nose.
Trevor knows.
Can we get Peter Dinklage for pulled pork,
Trevor,
please?
Knows.
Trevor knows all.
Trevor knows all. All shall fall before his devouring maw.
Someone check on that.
He's Jenny, I'm losing okay. It. I'm all right.
He's been Trevor'd one.
I love you.
Also, the stranger, right? We know Mara's. We suspect Mara is out chilling with her new bestie, the stranger. So maybe she makes a reappearance. I don't know. It's interesting times.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that we still need to tie in. What's interesting is that this week we also saw again the Dorito ships, as people so like to call them. In an interesting Invitations of the Nine this week, we saw the Drifter talking to the Emissary, and she says that the visions that he's having are tied to those ships.
Is it me, or every time I see those ships, I literally sit up and I'm like, oh, shit. Like we know nothing, but they sort of immediately grab your attention because they're so mysterious.
It's just a bunch of My Little Ponies walk out of it.
As a father of two girls, nothing would make me happier than for my daughter to just casually walk by my playing the game, and then she sees like Rainbow Dash and Pinkie Pie and all of them just fall out of there. Just
huge,
the embodiments of pure darkness. And
this is actually what Bungie was waiting for after the Activision split.
To tie in My Little Pony,
the licensing rights to My Little Pony, they had to hit up Hasbro. God. That's what the money from NetEase was actually for, so they could go to Hasbro with a bargain.
Look,
give me Twilight Sparkle.
Oh my god! Yeah, so we
there's some interesting times ahead, man. I mean,
yeah,
Luke Smith has cleared his Twitter down. Like, it's pretty much like
Yeah. So, okay, on occasion I check on his page, right? Just to see if there's just anything.
See how
there.
He's doing? See how just he's doing nowadays?
Because Luke Smith tends to go hiding for good periods of time and
he goes dark.
It was interesting. Yeah, quite literally. and it happened before Destiny 2 came out as well. Like his profile was dark and then Destiny 2 was announced and all his artwork and there was Destiny 2 stuff. But he's gone dark again and this time he's completely cleared out his Twitter feed. Like it's just, I think he maybe has like a few replies here and there. But that man has been throwing out Vault of Glass references left and right as well. So I don't know. We'll have to see what he's up to.
I'll ask my old special forces unit to look into it so you can get some
check
info
up on this man. Yeah.
I kid, sort of.
What do you think the summer holds like? Because like if you think past opulence, right?
We're supposed to have Solstice of Heroes in the middle of like opulence, aren't we?
Yeah, so like E3 is like the week after Opulence goes live, so I don't suppose Bungie are going to
E3. Holy shit, is it really?
Yeah, it's like the 11th of June.
Oh, yeah. I forget about that.
Oh, but at that time, they've already had their announcement over at Guardian Con, haven't they? That's in July.
I wonder if they'll wait, because they're going Guardian Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually really curious because PlayStation doesn't have a conference at E3 this year.
Right.
And
beforehand, because of the contractual, you know, thing that with Activision, the Destiny was tied to like the PlayStation conferences and such. So
yeah,
that's what we think. Yeah.
Yeah, we probably might not see them personally at E3. Maybe they'll do their own type.
Check that out.
What?
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to check that out.
So okay. what if for Solstice for Heroes, like if you've held on to your armor from last time, they put rules on it. Wouldn't that be so you could wear it again? It's like, remember that armor that you just like,
oh my God,
banged your head against a wall for?
Like, dude, and I got all three of them.
Yeah. Oh, and I got that ship solo. And the same one in Eververse. Like
Bungie is not among one of the participating companies at E3.
There you go.
So
they're probably going to hold on to whatever announcements, and they're probably revealing that at Guardian Con. Because I mean, we'll be in a month into Season of Opulence, and we don't know what that content schedule release will be like within Opulence just yet. So
yeah, June it'll stretch out towards the end of July, August to be quiet. And then, yeah, but you'd expect that to be because it's the build up or the ramp up to something else, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, we're most likely going to hear probably the week before a Season of Opulence, we'll start seeing either Vidox or calendars and stuff like that. So we still have
next week, probably.
Yeah. We still got a bit. I don't know. I feel they released Outbreak Perfected to kind of keep us going up until they start talking about Season of Opulence. It was just really well timed. I see you, Bungie.
Everything with a purpose, right? That was I could entirely believe that. Like, all right, we know not everybody's like, we don't all have Gambit as our kink like Nem. So Bungie's—that's his words. His words, chat. What? What if, and it was entirely on purpose, you know, just randomly, you know what, today, Outbreak Perfected, why not? Yeah, today.
Push the goddamn button.
It was done on purpose, and I think it's a wonderful farewell to the season, maybe kind of bring people back, get them interested, get them talking about it all again, hyped and ready for next.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at Moonbald in the chat. Yeah, no, those have been my words in the past. And
can we
I
get
stand.
That quoted in chat, please? Like, can we get that as a quote?
I want to see you wear a t-shirt.
That's Planet Destiny, and then on the back it says "Gambit is my kink." Quote Nim.
Quote Nim. Yeah.
It's just his stash. Nim.
Yeah. Trademark that, man.
Sign. It's like signature Nim.
Oh my God.
And so, then underneath it is just a picture of Tractor Cannon.
Mm-hmm. God, this is such a silly gun. I love it. So yeah, alongside that bit of information that was released into this week at Bungie, we have Iron Banner coming up as well, starting on May 14th, mm-hmm. ending on May 21st.
Cool.
So yeah,
if it's a thing.
By for some reason you don't have a Grimmel's Dagger or a what is that grenade?
It's the grenade launcher. It's the something of the Raven, Swarm of the Raven. It's not
Swarm, good. Yeah, if you that's don't have you it or
no, it's not good.
Or the shader.
The last opportunity to get the heavy and the death emblem. So you're going after that triumph.
If you hate yourself enough, sure.
Yeah, if you really hate yourself, that's
But it's not the revelry anymore, so it won't be Anne's band.
Yeah.
Did the revelry hurt or make it easier? That's the question you have to ask yourself, right?
I think it made it easier, in all honesty, yeah. But
no. I don't know. Where's my Iron Lord title, by the way? Bungo.
It doesn't exist because that character didn't exist at that time.
There is a lot of conversation about that on Reddit, and people are like, why is everybody like wanting all these titles back? I don't want to see everybody with a title. Titles are supposed to be earned, and like it's weird.
200 Iron Banner packages later, I've earned it. Okay, yeah. This is the face of the man who has earned it.
Well, tell that to Reddit.
I'll get right on. They're welcoming, accepting people, right? They listen to every argument you present and hear it in its entirety and look
they
at it objectively.
Well, rounded with their responses, yes.
Okay.
None of them are emotionally charged at all.
Oh my
God. I'm now suddenly banned from Reddit when I try to log in next time.
You and me both. Anyway.
Oh. Good company. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as updates into this week at Bungie, I believe that covers that covers most of the noteworthy things. So not a whole lot to revise there. I don't know. That's a lot of most of the information that we got this week. I'm stoked, dude. I can't wait for Opulence.
Same. Mm.
Yeah, same. Well, going back to Alpi Perfector real quick, and this is what I loved about the Whisper of the Worm mission. I've tweeted this out as well. The mission, the layout, the environment does not care for you to be there or not. It seems like it exists outside of your guardian. So when we're out goofing around on all these little scaffolds and doing our best impersonation of Luke in Sky City, hanging for our lives off of these little antennas, that is probably the most beautiful part about these missions to me, is that they are an alien environment that is not hospitable to you being there, and it seems completely natural to how the tower would have been built or kept together over time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, hats off to the artist team for all of that.
Yeah.
And the design team.
It's pretty great. I had a question for you guys, and I just completely blanked on it. Yeah. Oh, right. It was because of it was Drifter in chat. He mentioned the revelry. So now that the revelry has come and gone.
Yeah.
How are you guys finding Crucible okay now?
I want my cooldowns back. I want my cooldowns back. Just in everything.
How have you guys been adjusting to that? Because I'm having a hard time in PvE.
I'm on Asian PC server, so the Crucible is never okay. Next.
Understandable. Have a nice day.
Yeah, it was nice to be off.
Yeah, I don't know. I've gone in and played a couple of times in PvP. And it's definitely nice not being skip grenaded every other goddamn second. So can't have it, Dan.
Dan wants it back.
can't have it.
At least in PvE. At least in PvE.
Dan. How's Spectral Blades after the
I haven't touched them. I have not been back.
Oh, you haven't touched? Really?
I haven't been back flipping. I've been too depressed to go into the Crucible, really, outside of going in for that Outbreak Perfected thing. It feels bad, man. The world feels like it lost.
Well, that's genuine feels there as well.
It
like
lost,
like,
a bit of the brightness that I feel was in it the day that Spectrals died. And if I can for a moment, like, I'd like to give a eulogy to all the Spectral Bladers out there.
Someone cue In the Arms of the Angel.
Yeah. Look. You were wonderful. You used me, I used you. It was an excellent situation. I never thought that I could backflip to new heights until I met you. And now you're gone. And now I'll forever feel like half a man.
Do you need some tissues, Dan?
Jarv, Jarv, you're breaking a moment. I just want to say... I just want to say I'll always love you and I'll remember what you did for me. Thank you.
Dan, never change.
Never change.
Never change.
That was emotional.
Unlike Spectral Blades.
Hashtag too soon.
Right in my heart. Okay, let's go.
Oh, man. All right, what did you guys think? Let's start getting these chants from question covered.
That sounds great. I've been collecting them all throughout the episode. I think we might ask all of them. I think we got enough time.
We got plenty of time. We got plenty of time for all of them.
Let's ask all of them. The Ghostly Phoenix asks, so can I ask lore-wise why the Vanguard is not invested in patching up and trying to use the old tower, or maybe even Bannerfall? Is there anything in the lore that talks about that?
As far as Bannerfall, that was, I can't remember. That's just like a testing ground, wasn't
that's it? That's the Lysander bit. That was back in D1 with the Cormorant or Concordat. Concordat. Concordat and they went up against New Monarchy. So that's it was just like an empty tower that they went like jets and sharks in, right?
Mm.
Like when you're a jet all the way, that kind of thing.
Are we talking sports ball?
We're talking West Side Story.
Oh. Another thing I'm familiar with.
Sports ball. Yeah. I would say, okay, just from a practical standpoint, from a military organization, which is what the Vanguard effectively is, they're a militia. You have so many resources, you have so many, you know, personnel to get things done, and Zavala and the Vanguard have to prioritize stuff. And honestly, just patching up the exterior, as long as the wall is doing its job, then from a commander's point of view, I'll worry about it later. There are other things that I have to fix immediately. So just from a pragmatic military point of view, that would be one reason why.
Yeah.
I mean, and if anything, going back from Zero Hour, there's a lot of scaffolding and stuff in the old tower. So maybe they're working on fixing it.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Who knows? Ironhide 1983 asks, do you believe that the Infinite Forest should have a raid which takes you back to Vault of Glass?
We've actually talked pretty in depth about that.
Mm-hmm.
As the name suggests, there's an endless possibility of things that you can do with the Infinite Forest. I'm sure it's just a matter of time and resources.
It can
of course.
Be spooky. It can be verdant.
It can be normal, and it could be an A to B loading zone. Yeah.
Zing!
See what I did there. I mean, honestly, if that was you know a way to use the Infinite Forest, I would more than welcome that. I mean, there's. We've seen the Infinite Forest simulate Vault of Glass in that cutscene for Curse of Osiris. So I would hope, you know, maybe at some point in time we could potentially maybe see that. But I would love it if they would tie like the old raids to the Infinite Forest. It's like you just load into the Infinite Forest and like one path takes you to Vault of Glass or one path takes you to Crota's End. Like, that'd be sick, and I want it, and I'm sad that's not a thing now. Thank you. Who asked that question? Who was it? Who was it?
I deleted it already, so I don't even know.
Damn it.
No, it was Ironside 1983 who asked that question.
Ironhide.
I think if we went back to the pool, man, I think it'd be good to go back at a different time, you know, when we're going through the portals at Atheon, to see the rest of the vault at a different time. That would be cool. I think the Infinite Forest, I think they could do something cool with that. They could put a PvE, EVP style activity in there, maybe. You know, have fire team start in the present, future, and past, and then just sort of go to a central point that has a boss or something like that. It's almost like a race, but an indirect race.
Another team. You clear waves, basically. It's a race to see who can clear a wave faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the other team, yeah.
And take the boss out, and then they can have mechanics around how you can heal that boss against the other team and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, they could do something like that.
I would love it, dude. Yeah. I mean, I would love it if they just used the Infinite Forest for more stuff. Because it has infinite possibilities.
I guess the only caveat I would put to all of that, revisiting old raids, is you can only go back to the well. They can only go back to what worked in Destiny 1 so many times before that kind of that one trick pony is done doing its show. Mm-hmm. So as great as everything was in D1, we do need to be creating new memories. So
absolutely. 100%.
It's walking that fine line, isn't it, between not recycling stuff to make it feel like we're just bringing stuff forward, but you know, nostalgia trips are good. You know, when we go back to the Cosmodrome, or like this 0 hour is great. From a nostalgia point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like so, new thing, nostalgia, new thing.
Yeah, exactly. If they walk that line, I think they can't really go too far wrong.
Yeah. Farmark asks, do you think we'll see Eris Morn if the season is Hive related?
I would think so, yeah.
As a vendor, maybe?
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
I can see it.
I don't know where. Oh, maybe in the Dreadnought.
We don't even know where she is, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know where the hell she's gone, dude. She's just gone.
I mean, she's been the Queen's agent, right? So she's obviously, she's doing something for Mara. Mm. What, where, when, we're not privy to.
Her hidden friend. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely love to see Eris come back, but that should go without saying.
Yeah. Well, I know.
Yeah. Crip up. Shit up.
I got a My Chemical Romance ready for you if you want.
We can just swear to God.
Look, when I was a boy, my father took me to the Black Parade.
He took the ball and ran with it.
Jebby 13 has a trilogy of questions. He's the Nim of our stream. Question: what do you think about Cade's Vanguard Dare and that making Uldren the prime successor?
The cool. Vanguard don't know Uldren's alive, do they?
No, they don't. Well, I mean, nobody knows. But
I don't think they would anyway.
Does the dare take effect if the recipient wasn't a Guardian to begin? Like, that's, again, the Vanguard's a paramilitary organization, and the dare is cute, but if I'm Savala and I'm the commander and some blueberry walks in saying I'm the Hunter Vanguard, and I'm like, that's cute. You can join as a private, sit over there and do what you're told to do, but and then the real guys.
The Vanguard Dare just seems like it's a hunter thing, right? Just because, it's just because like nobody wants to do it, and somebody has to. So suck it up, cowboy. You're coming into the field or coming into the office.
This is like when Starfleet promoted Kirk from cadet to captain of a ship. with the reboot movie, and I just lost my mind. I'm like, you don't go from cadet to 06. That's not how it works.
In fiction, it can, I guess. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's what like, a lot of people calling Uldren a guardian as well is kind of not correct.
He's a light bearer.
He's a light bearer. He's a light bearer. He's not a guardian.
Yeah, like yet that we know of.
What is he?
He's got a light bearer.
But see, the Drifter comes from a time when there wasn't warlocks, there wasn't hunters, there wasn't titans. They were just called Risen. And this was before the Warlords as well. So the Drifter doesn't really fall into any of those categories as far as how they exist nowadays. He dresses like a warlock, but we don't know how he channels his ability.
I think he's actually labeled as...
I mean, people see him as, I guess, kind of a hunter because of, I don't know, for some reason, but we don't, he's just arisen. He's a rogue laborer. He doesn't have a classification like that.
Interesting.
His class is listed as multi, I think, and the Praxic Order classifies him as multi.
Yeah, because, I mean, they've seen him or, like, disguised as a warlock, but they don't really know what he is.
Didn't it used to be that that classes were a bit more fluid back in the day where...
He's classic.
There was no separation, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that multi makes sense in that regard. Like, if you're old enough, you can kind of, like, do everything.
Yeah.
And remember, classes are a function of design.
Yeah.
We have classes because Bungie needs to be able to give you a lane to stick in. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. Next question from Jebby. How mad would y'all be if we got the same armor for Festival of Heroes or Solstice of Heroes?
I wouldn't be mad. I like that armor. That armor is...
It's good-looking armor.
Pretty as shit.
It makes
I'm just mad that like I grinded so many hours for it and I can't use it!
Oh, yeah. Woof. That was,
like, I'd be fine if they brought the exact same armor going forward. I already have all of the ornaments. They can all light up super pretty. Give me my rolls on them, man.
You have no reason to get it back unless you're leveling up a character really quick.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, same. Delete message there.
Crit, Jarv?
Jarv, you go first, please.
On Solstice stuff, two of my characters are still wearing it, like my Titan and my Hunter, and they're still wearing it. I think they definitely need to bring that type of armor back. I think when they added the ornaments to the revelry, I think taking them away or having them limited to that event was a bit of a missed opportunity. So
yeah,
I think they've been quite vocal on Twitter about, you know, well, asking us what we want from armor and stuff, and obviously the Crota armor comes up, the ornamentation, the old Vog armor and stuff. So if it's anywhere near that, or you know, they take some influences from that, then they're onto a good thing.
I mean, we saw them do something amazing with the revelry ornaments.
Yeah,
it's a matter that they didn't stick through.
Yeah.
So as long as what we get and earn, because it would be earnable, right? So anything that we earn that we keep. And if it's anywhere near as good as some of those pieces, then we're good. Because I don't think any of the ornaments that's been in D2 have really been on the same level as the stuff we saw in D1 when you look at the Trials gear and the raid gear and stuff. The raid
gear. Yeah, we talked about that a bit last week.
Yeah.
I guess the last little bit I would add is I don't feel like the juice was worth the squeeze when we got the...
It was worth for 30 minutes. Masterwork.
That would be my last bit of it. Make it feel like my time was respected.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. The third and final question from Jebby. What if they brought a raid that sent you back to the Battle of Six Fronts and you got to meet all the guardians that saved the city for the first time?
That'd be cool. I'd be all for that. Yeah.
A la Caverns of Time and World of Warcraft. That would be neat. Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, in any sort of activity that would give us more of a visual to some of the lore stuff that we've seen in the Grimoire cards or the Books of Sorrow and stuff like that, I'll be all for that. Because it opens it up to more people that don't really invest in it or take the time to read it in the collections page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see Anna Bray use her golden gun that the light still persists to this day from when she used it there in that fight. Yeah. You can see those copies of Osiris, you know, possibly from his shenanigans flying around everywhere. You can see Shax disobey Saladin.
Mm-hmm.
Like Destiny's Saving Private Ryan moment, right? Just like,
yeah.
I see it more as a cutscene than something to play through, though.
I'd be cool if it was a cutscene, but
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, it sounds fun, but I don't know. I think you could tell that story a little quicker.
Through a cutscene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Meh. Who knows? Who knows?
Next question.
Grabby asks, here's a question. Is Trials really dead forever? And if you've listened to about 4, 5, maybe 10 of the past several episodes, probably.
How much time do we have? Yeah, I'm joking.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm kidding. But no, we have talked about it as being something that's probably not going to come back in D2, if we're being honest with ourselves.
We would have heard about it, I think, by now for D2. I think Bungie appreciate that the game needs a pinnacle PvP, like competitive activity outside comp.
Yeah.
Whether it be Trials, we're not in D2, I think.
Yeah. I think a lot of the people that want it to come back want it a different way than what Crucible is right now. Mm. That would take a huge overhaul. So I would expect that it would be with a new game coming out. That would make the most sense to me.
How long were they working on Gambit? Because again, we have to consider real life factors here, development time. How long were they working on Gambit? Forever, right? Like since D1 actually, technically, I think, towards the end.
I can't remember what they said in that interview with the Crucible Radio Boys.
Mm. Yeah. But it takes time. And that's the other thing we have to consider. Bungie has a lot on the plate. They just split from Activision. Resources might be a little bit scarcer than they're used to. Personnel changes are happening. Yeah, you have to take a look at the meta of the real life of Bungie and their day-to-day operations and everything like that. And you have to consider, is it plausible or feasible for them to be pouring resources into the new Trials mode right now?
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone out and spoken about it before that, you know, they're not abandoning, you know, the Crucible and stuff like that. It's just they have a different plan for it, a different vision of it. So whatever that is, it's just not ready for us to know about. And given the original success of Trials of Osiris, it would be crazy to think of them to just leave that all behind. Hmm. Like they want to. Because, I mean, they pushed out a new version of Trials. Didn't work out. It didn't have the same appeal as the original one. So, going to go into the back burner. And hopefully, whenever we see it again, it'll attract that same attention that Trials of Osiris brought forward.
Bring back the boons, too. Let casual people come in and come away with something. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to help me, I forget, honestly. You can get you can get the trial stuff from your clan engrams for your clan mates going and doing it. But the thing is, if you want a healthy population, like what's the problem with the populations in the playlist right now, right? People got their recluse right away and then they bow out. So who's left in there? Recovery accounts, your dire. That's why every match of quick play feels like a 5,500 cop match. Because at least for me, it does. But allowing a means for the casual player to come in and walk away with something, I think, is also going to be critical to that whole experience.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time we got a Crucible map?
10 years ago.
I mean, whenever we get it, I think.
Yeah.
Because of how long it's been since we've got anything Crucible related, other than sandbox changes and weapons, which probably isn't handled directly by the Crucible team per se.
Forsaken's launch, I think, with like Equinox is the last new map.
Yeah, so anything that we get, I imagine, would be a bit of an overhaul we have now.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're gonna eventually see like an update dedicated on Crucible, because I mean it's been a good while since we've had any proper kind of update on Crucible or Crucible Labs, whatever happened with that. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and Bungie know how to do PvP. Be it back in Halo, they were nailing it back then, so they know what they need to do.
Doommester asks, Planet Destiny, how can a person seek help for 0 hour to get the catalyst? There are several LFG sites. The 100.io is one. The Bungie forums have an LFG. The Bungie app has an LFG.
Xbox has one built in.
Yeah. If you join our Discord, exclamation Discord in chat, there are several people who are helpful there. You got Bo Solaris in chat. You got all sorts. You got all sorts of folks who can help out. Yeah, stay tuned also to our Twitch channel over the next couple weeks. We have some very exciting people coming in. So that was Doomester, Doomester, Bo. But yeah,
and if you tweet to me or any one of the other members, I'm sure we'll also retweet. Yeah. I can't speak for everyone else, but we will retweet your name out there and help get your name out there looking for help. And I'm sure people will jump on that to help each other out. That's the great thing about this community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bo Solaris, a member of our Twitch team, asks, expanding on what the Drifter said in wanting new content, what do you guys think of the Infinite Forest giving us the possibility of playing historical missions, Battle of the Six Fronts, Twilight Gap, etc.?
Did we go through this one already or no?
Yeah, we did that one. I'm sorry. I didn't read through it before getting to Jebby's. But sounds cool. Probably.
Yeah.
Could tell it in like a cutscene though.
Missions that are like the Saint 14 mission where you actually go back in, you know, to the past and discover something is cool.
Yeah.
So any missions around those would be sweet. I'll take that.
Historical mission? Like you show up to somebody and they're like, I remember, and then like it takes you back. Like that's cool. But I wouldn't know.
I mean, we know from the narrative previews that ghosts have, you know, the ability to record stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure if time and people and resources were, you know, plenty to go around, there could be like some kind of like index of where you can still maybe like see cutscenes of stuff like that have been recorded or saved from ghost feeds and stuff like that. So it's just a time and resources type of thing that like, and scale of importance, you know, all that, a lot of that stuff has been talked about in the past already. So, you know,
What if in a perfect world, if you're a hunter and you queue up for the mission, you're Anna Bray. If you're a warlock and you queue up for it, you're Osiris. And if you're a Titan, you're Shax. That would be kind of neat, don't you think?
Yeah.
You go and you live out their parts of it.
Yeah. Like Black Link and Bo are now brainstorming this in chat. They're saying, have it play out like missions where you get your subclasses with audio logs made out of light constructs. And Bo's like, meditations are proof that it'll fit into lore. I mean, like the Zerb bounties.
Mm-hmm.
Have it play out something like that. Yeah. I can see that. Like, it's a different thing than I think than just missions, but it would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Last question.
Play out the lore. That'd be sweet.
Heck yeah. Last question of the evening from the Black Link. We miss you, BB. So, if we were to pretend that Bungie is starting a trend here with Outbreak Perfected to bring back old raid exotics, say moving in the reverse order in which they came out, how would you like to see stuff like Touch of Malice, Vex Mythoclast, Necrochasm brought forward with what abilities?
Oh.
That's a loaded one, isn't it?
That's a question right there.
That's a good question, to be honest.
I have a feeling that's a good question. I mean, and I've talked about this with people beforehand. You know, a lot of that stuff has to fit in thematically. So, you know, Outbreak Perfected, I didn't think it was something that we were going to see because it just didn't really fit in thematically. So we don't know what else they're going to do with SIBA or whatnot, but...
Here's a Necrochasm one. Every time you use it and kill someone, Nem smiles.
I mean, that happens regardless.
Doesn't matter if he's logged in. If he's asleep and you kill someone, Nem's like...
Yeah. What about if kills increase the rate of fire and reload a portion of your magazine?
Yeah.
I remember it had something. It had Cascade, which was Grave Robber, is now known as Grave Robber, where melee kills give you a portion of the magazine back. If I were to ever see the Necrochasm come back, I don't know, man. That Cursed Thrall explosion was pretty tasty. Man, what could you do to that to make it even better?
Add mods, I don't know, to dude. It.
Add mods. Yeah, man. I don't know. Maybe like leave green Soulfire behind a Cursed Thrall explosion.
Does burn damage to other enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, area of effect.
Of effect.
Blow one up and then it starts burning off the shields of the others.
Maybe leave a little Soulfire patch on the ground, a la the bottom tree Sunbreaker thing where you stand in and you get Sun Warrior. Something like, I don't know. Doesn't have to be exactly that. But...
I'd be about that, dude.
Yeah, definitely not nerf it. No way.
RCA Gandhi kind of makes a good point about Touch of Malice. Like, it was really kind of only good for one battle. I don't know what you could do to it to make it more utilitarian.
It's a risk reward weapon, but I think it, outside that encounter, its uses were quite limited.
Well, something else to consider now: warlocks can self heal. Yeah. So, in their hands, if they're in their Well of Radiance with that bad boy, now it's empowered. Just now they're healing through any damage they do. Yeah.
Just use Devour and just keep killing things.
I'll tell you what, though. I used to take Touch of Malice into the Crucible with a Titan using, what was it? Weapons of Light. It was tasty, dude.
You have no soul. So an interesting thing they've done with all the returning or D1 exotics, Thorn is back and it can 2-tap if this then that. So they're coming back in a tip of the hat to what they used to be, but they're not immediately
perfected. Is something much better than what it used to be.
Fair enough.
Yeah, like
Vex Mythoclast. I mean, they could revert that back to OG D1 on the basis of something. I don't know. Get a kill and it leaves a little oracle that hangs around. That thing.
For Vex Mythoclast, I always, and this is something that I always envisioned it to play like in whatchamacallit, in D1, because it largely resembles a kind of like a wire rifle that the Vex have. So imagine having it kind of almost like Queen Breaker in a sense, where like, let's say if you're hip firing the Vex Mythoclast, it fires like a full auto, like an auto rifle as it should. But when you aim down the sights, it acts like the wire rifle, where it charges the one bolt and then it transforms into a linear.
Like a delayed shot, but it's
Increased damage. Yeah. Like it does a little charge and zoop.
Which slot would that be in?
Man, that would be why I would say
it's elemental. Yeah, it's gotta be elemental,
yeah,
right?
Solo, yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a special.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. That's a little interesting.
Yeah. And most common enough that you could use it, but it's not so crazy that you're one shotting everyone in the Crucible. Or maybe, well, I mean, it could one shot if you do the aim down sights thing like Nem is saying. Yeah. Right.
But then it like uses like most of your magazine, for example.
It uses your two-shot equivalent, right? Because you get two snipes, two shotguns. It uses both for that one shot when you
spawn. Yeah, like almost an Izanagi's type of thing, where it uses all of the ammo in your magazine to use that one shot. That way you can't really spam, you know, the linear.
Mm.
Yeah.
That'd be sick. I want it and I'm sad. That's
interesting. In terms of how they'd be brought forward, though, I think any mission, anything like Zero Hour in a...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think
that's such a better way of bringing stuff forward. 100%. Those types of missions.
Like the Thorn Quest was great. I think that Strike can go die in a fire elementally.
Yeah.
So, okay, my biggest problem with that... those thralls are like double dipping. One, blackout, so swipey boy is now super swipey boy.
Mm-hmm.
Two, thrall melee account strikes count as arc damage, so they're getting the bonus modifier from elementalist or whatever, or dangerous elements.
Yeah.
So that strike.
Imagine
zero hour invoke.
Imagine kind of like a choose your own adventure thing with this, where it's like for the first half of the mission, it's completely the same mechanics, but then you throw in like different branches off that lock you out of the other two. Where at the end you get like one of these rewards.
That'd be interesting, dude.
That also just gave me an idea. What if you have an Outbreak perfected style mission, but at one point the fire team has to split up on three different paths?
Mm-hmm.
So Nem goes that way, Jarv goes that way, you go that way, Dan. And yeah, you all have things to do.
That'd be awesome.
I can dig that. I can dig on that.
And of course, strats would evolve from that, right? Like you always want a hunter going down middle. You always want a warlock going right because they're best for this and that. And you want to, you know, this titan to do that over there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I want it.
Bungie, I want make the cash payable to Crit Buff.
Yeah. Here's my PayPal and my Venmo.
You're welcome. Adam, if you're watching this, you're welcome.
Oh, well, all right. I think that covers the questions from chat from this week. A lot of good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Put my ass to think, dude. Oh, man. Well, I think that about wraps up episode 199 of the Planet Destiny podcast, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Sick. Now, before we go ahead and close out the episode, we have a very special 200th episode coming up real soon. And
is that next week? I think if numbers work, I believe that's next week.
That's quick next math. Week. Yeah, quick
199. American Public Education.
Quick maths.
Network right there. For the...
Yeah.
But you know, there's been a question that has floated around the Planet Destiny community for a really, 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 really long time.
Will there be balloons?
I mean, if you are bringing balloons, Dan, then there's going to be balloons.
Okay. Will there be pizza?
If you bring pizza, then...
Yes. Here's one. Will my wife let me go?
Maybe. So, 200th. Big question. Where's Tefty? Well.
Oh, shit.
We found him.
We did?
We found Tefty. So, if you want to be a part of the Planet Destiny 200th episode, stay tuned so you can see where Tefty's going to be. So, with that being said, that closing note,
basement tied up.
It's just it's just gonna be me in a Tefty mask.
you're gonna buy a beard.
Oh, hey guys, I'm shorter than you expect.
Put a Snapchat filter on. No one will know.
Oh man, so
you say that.
So yeah. Really, really awesome episode coming next week. Stay tuned. It's going to be fantastic. So come on over next Sunday, and it's going to be a really, really good time. And on that closing note, Crit Buff, where can these fine people find you in the corners of the internet?
No pressure, right? So you can find me on Twitter at Crit Buff. Just do a search there. And then on Twitch, I am... Dredgen_CritBuff, because some jerk stole CritBuff before I could get it. And then, of course, you'll find my videos for PD on YouTube. So just stay tuned for those.
Beautiful. Mr. Jarv, where are you at, bud?
I'm Jarvinus pretty much everywhere. Twitter, Twitch, but primarily my trade is applied on YouTube. So Jarvinus on YouTube, or if you just search Jarv Destiny, I'll come up. And I also have some contributions for Planet Destiny with the Void configuration more recently. And with Opulence, I'm sure there'll be plenty more guides to make, so keep an eye out for those.
Beautiful. And Dan Flannelty.
Oh, hi! My name's Dan Finity. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/DanFinity. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dan Flannelty, Dan Finity, but the I's are L's. You can also find my other podcast, SideQuest Sunday, which just started back up, where on episode 2, I interviewed Cyborg Sasquatch from Destiny Reset podcast this week. And cool. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Beautiful. And as you know, you can find me at NemPlays everywhere on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Before I go, quick plug-in. I actually made this pretty cool video because of Zero Hour. And I wanted to play onto the nostalgia side of things. I can see Dan is probably looking for it, like, right
Shut
now.
Up, Nim. I'm not trying to play
it. So if you haven't seen it yet, because quite a few people from the community managed to watch it, and I got some pretty positive feedback on it. I'm pretty proud of it. I typically don't tend to kind of like toot my own horn on things like that, but I was really happy how it turned out. So if you guys are interested, I believe Dan will have it to you shortly.
I'm still looking. Hold on. All right.
Nailed it.
Yeah, like a lot of people really, really liked it. And again, it was one of those things that kind of happened at the last minute. There we go. It's in chat. It was something that I really wanted to do the moment that I saw where Zero Hour took place, and I think it turned out pretty cool. So that's a V, Dan.
I know. I had to put a card in there. Is that going to be up on the Bungie creation page?
It was submitted to it. I'm still waiting to see if it gets accepted.
Sweet.
So hopefully if it does manage to go on there, I could maybe try to get it as a movie of the week. It definitely got a lot of attention over the weekend when I made it. So I'm pretty stoked that people really, really enjoyed it. So yeah, there it is. It's called Thank You for the Memories.
But stop stealing all the emblems, man. You already have it.
Look, man, I feel like I earned this one. All right.
Greedy.
We should do a PD one, man.
We should. Get all of us the emblem. Get everybody the emblem.
When we do Gambit together, we could be that team that's got the same emblem, you know.
Same the shit. Banditos roll out.
Yeah, exactly. We can be those guys.
All right. With that being said, guys, thank you so much for watching episode 189 of the Planet Destiny podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Bye, everybody.